Hallelujah. Glorify your name. In our last few moments, we're going to share just a brief word with you. And I'm going to share out of Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, very briefly. Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to start at, we're going to look at a few Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name." Say name.
Name.
Say name.
Name.
"Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and humankind." Proverbs 3, continuing verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight." Then later on in Proverbs, in chapter 10, verse 7, it says, "The name," say name,
name,
"the name of the righteous is used in blessings, but the name," say name,
name,
"but the name of the wicked will rot." Proverbs 18:10 says, "The name," say name,
name,
"the name of the Lord is a fortified tower. The righteous run to it and are safe." Proverbs 21:24 says, "The proud and arrogant mocker is their name." Say name.
Name.
"Mocker is their name. They behave with insolence, fury." And then lastly, in Proverbs 22:1, it says, "A good name," say name,
name,
"a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold." The title of this brief little word is, "What verb are you?" What verb are you? And I was thinking of this because recently, of course, or last year, I guess it's been by this point, we're familiar with some difficult and unseemly situations which have happened and which, in fact, have catalyzed some of the financial distress which our country and world is involved in. There's a gentleman by the name of Bernie Madoff. You're all familiar with his, with that name now. And as we all know, he had this whole financial scheme which negatively impacted different people. And in fact, that scheme, it was patterned on something which a guy named Charles Ponzi did years before, a Ponzi scheme, where false investments were occurring and people were basically ripped off. And the magnitude of the negativity of what Charles Ponzi did was so much that those type of schemes became associated with his name. So a Ponzi scheme. And the magnitude of Madoff has now exceeded that of Ponzi, so that the word Madoff is now a verb. Man, they got Madoffed. I know someone who's got Madoffed. And it very difficultly impacted their life. And that got me to think of, like, wow, what people do, your actions can really become to define a verb. Man, you got Madoffed. And in fact, there's a English term that describes it, which is an eponym. An eponym is the name of a person after which something is named. And the adjective of that is eponymous. So one who is referred to as eponymous is someone who gives his or her name to something. So for example, if there's a restaurant named Tobias's Restaurant after Tobias, then Tobias is the eponymous owner of the famous Tobias Restaurant. They have become a verb, a noun, or an adjective which is inseparably identified with something about them. There's lots of examples of this. The fellow we all know from history, Benedict Arnold. Now, if you call someone a Benedict Arnold, it means they're a traitor, based on what Benedict Arnold did in history. There is the guy who was the first legislator of ancient Athens in Greece in 7th century BC. His laws were particularly harsh. His name was Draco. And so now if we encounter draconian laws, it's because there are laws which are so harsh. Again, this guy has become an eponym, he's a verb, an adjective, based on the renown of what they've done. Arthur Davidson and William Harley. We think about Harley Davidson motorcycles, but what a Harley Davidson is an M. We don't have to say motorcycle, we just say it's a Harley Davidson, and we know exactly what that means. There's a guy, an American inventor, who was trying to create something as impressive in America as the Eiffel Tower was in France. And he created this big entertainment thing, this big wheel, and his name was George Washington Gale Ferris. And now when we say a Ferris wheel, we know exactly what that means. There's a guy named Henry Ford. If we say he's driving a Ford, we know that that's a car. So forth and so on. There's a French acrobatic performer who inspired the song The Daring Young Man on the Flying Trapeze. And he invented and made famous some skin-tight garments that would help him move. So his name was Jules Leotard. And so when you wear a leotard, you know exactly what that means because their name has preceded them. There's a guy named Charles Lynch who punished people very harshly, and so we know what lynching means. It's become a verb. There's a guy named Niccolo Machiavelli, and we know if you act in a Machiavellian way, that's a very evil and conniving way to act. There's a couple of other guys named Charles Rolls and Henry Royce. And when we say, man, that was the Rolls Royce, we know, boom, that's a high quality thing. And of course, the ultimate example is some guy named Jesus Christ, who when you call somebody a Christian, you should hopefully know exactly what that means. These are all fascinating examples. But the real question before us this morning is, what verb are you? What verb are you? If someone said, oh, he was so Cooper, what would that mean? If someone says, oh, you should have seen it, he got totally parmed, what would that mean? If someone said, man, I never thought I would be Melvin like that, what would that mean? If someone said, oh my gosh, she was so Linda, what would that mean? When people utter your name, what do they think about? What do they feel? What emotion hits them? Does respect well up in their breasts? Or does contempt crease their brow? Do they mumble a curse under their breath? Or do they sigh in disappointment? Do they scratch their heads in puzzlement? Do they clutch their valuables or their children closer to them in fear? Or does thanksgiving fill their heart? When you get home, perhaps ask a brutally honest friend, what verb am I? What verb am I? In fact, ask several friends and compare their answers. What verb are you? What verb are you now? And what verb do you want to be? Make sure you are working diligently to be consistent to your target brand, your target purpose, your target ideal, your target verb. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. And perhaps more poignantly, 2 Corinthians 3:23 in the Message Bible says, your very lives are a letter that anyone can read by just looking at you. Christ himself wrote it, not with ink, but with God's living spirit, not chiseled into stone, but carved into human lives, and we publish it. So your life is a letter that's being published that other people are reading. That's what 2 Corinthians 3 says. In closing, what if the brand associated with your name is already in a direction that you don't want? That may be a problem, but as long as you are alive, it's never too late to work to change that.
Amen.
Many biblical examples. There's a guy who had a horrible brand, a horrible verb associated with his name, some guy named Saul of Tarsus. But he changed and he became known as Paul. There's a guy named Abram who became known as Abraham. There's a guy named Jacob whose name literally meant he grasped the heel or pulling my leg because he was a deceiver. But God changed him and his name became Israel. And there's a whole bunch of people called Israelites named after him. Those are biblical examples. There's a secular example. Some guy named Alfred grew up in Stockholm. He was a Swedish chemist, engineer, and inventor. He invented dynamite, became very wealthy. He got a wake-up call when a publication mistakenly published a premature obituary of him, and the obituary stated, "Le marchand de la mort est mort," which means the merchant of death is dead. And he walks, oh, that's what's associated with my name. That's my brand. That's my verb. And the article went on that said that this guy, Dr. Alfred, who became rich by finding ways to kill more people faster than ever before, died yesterday. That was a wake-up call to him. That's my brand. That's my verb. And it brought about in him a decision to leave a better legacy after his death. And so in 1895, he signed his last will and testimony and set aside the bulk of his estate to establish a set of prizes. And he left the equivalent of $250 million to that. And this gentleman's name, Dr. Alfred Bernard Nobel. Now when we think of the Nobel Prizes, we think of a different verb. What verb are you? What about you? Are you deciding what your verb brand should mean? Are you disappointed with what it means now? Work to change it. Proverbs 22, verse 1, we read, said, a good name, say name.
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 Proverbs 22, 1, a good name is more desirable than great riches.
Yes.
To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Decide today to act in a way such that in the communities in which you live, work, and play, your name will radiate the purpose for which God designed you. Be blessed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.